Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That. A few years ago, I went looking for adventure. What I actually found was the end of years of back pain, a body that finally fit my clothes again, and something I never expected, a personal wellness sanctuary right outside my door. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a daily habit that revitalized my health, my emotions, and even my sense of purpose. From easing stress to shrinking your waistline, there really is a walk for that. Join me as I explore the power of walking with inspiring guests and offer tips to help you make walking a fun, transformative part of your day. And you'll get to enjoy our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guest that reflects their attitude to life and passion for walking. This week's show is one you won't forget. I'm joined by ultra runner, music educator and campaigner Nathaniel Dye, whose extraordinary journey through terminal cancer, marathons, music and meaning will completely change the way you think about walking, resilience and what really matters in life. From running 100 miles to learning to walk slowly, from diagnosis to defiance, this is a story of courage and unstoppable forward motion. Stay with us to the very end. It might just change the way you live your next step. And if listening today sparks a new intention for your health this new year, download my Walk Yourself Wonderful guide, the simple, free way to turn walking into your healthiest habit yet. You can get it from my website, www.feelgoodwalk.com. That link is underneath my show bio. And now over to Nathaniel. It's great to be with you, Nathaniel. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I'd love to kick off by, if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Nathaniel Dye, and I spent my entire career teaching music to various age groups, and more recently, I'm a conductor waving my arms around. I'm coming into the joys of being in nature from a different angle to some, I suppose. It's a bit of an occupational hazard with being an amateur runner and having gone from round the block to 5K to 10K to half marathons, marathons. Then with ultra marathons and things, it tends to be in the great outdoors. My peak was about 5 years ago, where I started running 100-mile distances, and we use running in a very generous sense, I think, because by that point, you could easily call it a hike, from especially looking at the stragglers in the last 30 miles or so. So I think being on your walking show is still quite appropriate, even if I've come from running. But that's where I've come from. But where I'm going is perhaps just as interesting in some ways.
We met when we were both walking from Land's End to John O'Groats. Well, I was walking from Land's End to John O'Groats. You were walking from John O'Groats to Land's End. And we met, each of us going the opposite direction. Hikers always ask, how heavy is your backpack? Then you told me something about what was inside your backpack that completely, wow, this is mind-blowing. So can you tell everyone what was in your pack?
I have what they call a stoma. Its name is Homer, so I could rhyme it. So about half of my pack was full of colostomy supplies. I have what is now terminal bowel cancer. So I was diagnosed in the autumn of 2022. The emergency surgery came after a bowel obstruction in the middle of chemo. So that would have come in a new year. So around 3 months after diagnosis or so. My first running achievement after major surgery was being told off by a nurse for having a bit of a jog around the ward. I guess I'm quite lucky that Homer pretty much saved my life. All the cliches are true. When you come out of that room, when you're told that it is the worst news, and I suppose being told you have cancer that you're going to die of, be it not sure how long, it probably is the worst news. You come out of that room a different person. What did I do? Well, I went to school after my appointment and planned for the time without me. I essentially have 800 kids. What are these kids going to do without me? Being a music teacher, you get to know everyone. I then ran home about 8 miles, because what else was I going to do? So it's that connection with being outside in nature, with feeling your heart beating. Even now, without really being able to run, I still have this amazing feeling of just being outside, feeling the wind in your face. I don't think I've been out in order to move myself and regretted that. It's always been a positive experience, no matter how slow it becomes, no matter how much 100 miles has reduced itself to. Now, I'll be completely honest, you can probably hear I'm quite out of breath, and that's kind of permanent, I think. Just around the block is an achievement. I'm grateful for that relationship with moving around, and long may it continue.
As I dreamed out one evening by a river of discontent, I bumped right into old Tom Payne as a running down the road he went. He said, "I can't stop right now, my son. King George, he's after me. You'll have a rope around my throat and he'll hang me on the Liberty Tree. And I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones." Said, "I just spoke about freedom, justice for everyone. Ever since the very first word I spoke, I've been looking down the barrel of a gun. Well, they say I preach revolution. Let me say in my defense, all I did wherever I went was to talk a lot of common sense. And I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones." Well, old Tom Paine, he ran so fast, he left me standing still. But there I was, a piece of paper in my hand, standing at the top of the hill. And it said, "This is the age of reason. These are the rights of man. Kick off religion and monarchy. It was written there in Tom Paine's plan. And I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones." Tom Paine, there he lies. Nobody laughs, nobody cries. Where he's gone or how he fares, nobody knows and nobody cares. But I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones.
Well, it's a folk song called Tom Paine's Bones. And I tend to be all about listening to music itself, but I think the words here, the lyrics, really say something to me. I think because nothing in this world is more important than freedom, than liberty. Again, it's one of those things when you're about to lose it, you really realise it's going in whatever form. I don't know, if we found a way to make use of the freedom we have, I think the world would just be a bit better place.
That was Tom Paine's Bones by Graham Moore, and you're listening to There's a Walk for That, presented by me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And my guest today is ultra runner, musician and campaigner Nathaniel Dye. In the next session, Nathaniel shares the moment he realised something wasn't right, how getting slower, not faster, became the signal to listen to his body. We talk about what walking in nature really gives us and the shift from chasing miles to truly noticing the beauty that's all around us.
For me, I didn't actually feel that bad. I mean, obviously, there were increasingly worrying symptoms that eventually caused me to seek the advice of all the doctors I could. I was still able to walk around, to run almost as quickly and for about as long as I had done before. Although for anyone who does get really in tune with their body for whatever reason, be it through any physical activity, that's how I first realised that I really wasn't very well. It might sound like not much, but I was working just as hard, if not harder, and getting slower. People might think, that's just middle age, that's just the march of life. But it turned out to be something serious. So here's another cliche, listen to your body. It will often tell you so much more than you think it might if you get in tune. And that's what I really like about being in nature, because it forces you to just be in that moment, being outside and using all the senses.
We had a walk quite recently in Hainault Forest. Weather wasn't that great, but it didn't really matter. We were out in nature. There were beautiful trees and lovely wind on our face. So like on a walk like that, what do you think it's giving you?
They say it's either a good walk or a good story. So maybe we had a bit more of a second there when we went out. But even if the weather's really bad, that doesn't matter. It almost makes you feel, or makes me feel like I've done more because I've gone out in the bad weather and not let that defeat me. In the before times, it was very much the cost of doing business, being outside in harsh conditions, because that's what I had to do. I mean, there was one particular trek through the Brecon Beacons, the Beacons Way, which I think is officially 102 miles, but I ended up with about 108, a couple of bonus miles got lost. I think I ended up with one photo. And I have a vague recollection of what it looked like when you've got that race mentality, which is how I spent those, I think it was 36, 37 hours. It doesn't matter how beautiful your surroundings. It's just that kind of tunnel vision, one foot in front of the other. I do wonder if I've missed out on the opportunity sometimes whilst out in nature in the middle of nowhere, just to take pause, take in the surroundings and realise just how beautiful it is and how lucky I am to be out there.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. And my guest today is ultra runner, music educator and campaigner Nathaniel Dye. In this next part of our conversation, we turn towards the idea of speed and stillness, how so many of us move through life on autopilot, chasing finish lines without stopping to notice what's right in front of us.
What you're saying about tunnel vision, I think everyone can recognise, you know, how day-to-day life, we're just going through ticking off the things that we have to do during the day, and we don't stop and pause. What are we missing when we're rushing through, even though you got a medal at the end?
the only ultra marathon I failed to finish, they call it a DNF, did not finish, was around the edge of Mont Blanc, which I was lucky to get into this race, believe it or not. Being over 100 miles around the edge of Mont Blanc, some people would consider that an absolute torture. It's a kind of bucket list event, I suppose. And I got about 100K of the way along. And this being French, and they do like a set of rules. It had been 24 hours, and I missed the cutoff, unfortunately. What I was just so grateful for was being able to stop occasionally, and with a few guides insisting that I just stand still, look at that mountain over there. On more than one occasion, finding your jaw just dropping and realizing how beautiful the world is. And it's taking in that beauty that I think everyone needs to do in their own way, on their own level. And I think, I don't think there's a wrong answer here, though. I found just as much pleasure in having gone as quickly as I possibly can over a certain distance as from just aimlessly wandering. I mean, both were okay. I suppose just getting a few more steps in completely unremarkable surroundings, but having the intent that you want to move yourself, gain that tiny bit more fitness.
I definitely had it as a point of pride to do long distances as quickly as I could. And then I started walking with a friend of mine who's an artist, and she likes to stop all the time and look at the views, and she'll take photos because she's going to do a piece of art based on the view. Through doing that, I've discovered the joys of walking slowly. I've got more and more into really sinking myself into the scenery and the small things, you know, the sounds and the rustles and the leaves and the insects and just these tiny things you see when you're stopping still.
Well, not far from where we were walking before is another country park called Haven Country Park. Around there, but it's even got a name, Wellingtonia Avenue, which is surrounded by giant sequoias, redwoods. You know, these really, really tall trees that are definitely older than all of us and will probably outlast us by centuries. I must have been through this particular route hundreds of times, just running because it's up a hill, gritted teeth, whatever it takes. And then I remember walking up the same hill for the first time and just noticing so much more. I wasn't really prepared for it. I just couldn't quite comprehend at the time how different that experience is. And some people come up to me, because I've got a bit of a public profile, I suppose, or something used to do and say, I'm really sorry, I only do park run. I'm only, I only do the odd 5K or something. And I'm thinking, why does this require an apology for taking your own route and choosing your distance or your method of exercise? And unfortunately, sometimes the path can become completely blocked and you're forced down this really quite unpleasant little drainage ditch. I think in my case, I've just come up with that analogy. How's that?
So true.
Yeah. I mean, in the drainage ditch isn't lovely, but I like to think that even if the worst happens, it's still possible to make the most of it whilst you're there. Oh,
good night, and joy be with you all. Oh, if I had money enough to spend in leisure time to sit a while.
My second song is The Parting Glass, which again is traditional, and I believe it's of Irish origins, after some kind of party, or I should go to parties. And all I can say about that is that I've already recorded a version, and it'll be at my funeral, and that's going to be special because it's my last gig. Every musician, even if they don't admit it to you, they've planned this. We all have.
And that beautiful rendition of the traditional Irish folk song, The Parting Glass, was by Boy Genius and Ye Vagabonds. You're back with me and my guest, Nathaniel Dye, here on There's a Walk for That on UK Health Radio. And in the next part of our conversation, Nathaniel shares how he took on a 100-mile run along the Essex Way and onto London, and how that journey led to the London Marathon, playing his trombone as he ran.
About a month after UTMB, which was around Mont Blanc, I thought, well, if the only problem is I'm a bit slow now, why don't I just have a go at home? It doesn't have to be charging up a mountain. I happen to live just on the edge of Essex, and the Essex Way is about 80 miles long from Harwich to Epping. Then it happens to be about another 20 miles into the centre of London. Got someone from the running club to draw me up a nice route, and in fact, my brother John was chief crew, as he has been for a lot of my crazy adventures. He kind of fashioned his car boot into a kind of tuck shop every few miles, I don't know, every 5 or 6 miles. He'd appear at this prearranged stop with supplies, and it was the most horrible night. Talking about going out in bad weather, we're talking ankle deep at times in terms of mud, and there were a few detours away from sodden fields. I wasn't really proud of keeping to a particular route as long as the distance ticked over. It was so difficult, but I made it in the end, got to Tower Bridge after 29 hours. So that didn't really get any attention, despite the fact I think it's definitely amongst my greatest achievements in my entire life. Just what it represented was you know, coming from 100 miles to Cancer and right back again. I don't know how my body let me do that, but somehow he did. And my mind certainly wasn't going to stop me. And that would have been in the autumn of 2023. And then in the spring of 2024 was the London Marathon. I'd just about begun fundraising and associating myself with Million Cancer Support, because obviously we need research, and there are about 50 research charities. But Million really are there for people who are suffering themselves. Okay, I'm running this for charity. How can I make a fuss? How can I make people make a fuss and reach in their pockets? Because it's a difficult thing to do these days. We're in the age of austerity, after all. I happen to know of a company called P-Bone, and they make plastic trombones. They happen to have one in just the right colour green. And I've kind of wanted to combine my two great loves of music and running. So I do this, and it gets a little bit of attention, and you know, there's a bit of PR going on. I end up on BBC Breakfast, which is possibly the biggest national thing. And come marathon day, I'm lining up there. I can't claim to have been playing every step, not even every other step, but I don't know. We'll call it approximately equal proportions of playing and getting my breath back. Unfortunately, in that spring, I was undergoing a full-on three-month chemo cycle, so running just wasn't really possible. So I hadn't really had much training. I suppose my legs just remembered what to do, and so did my lungs. It was the biggest party. I took requests. There's some kind of musical group or band every mile or so in the marathon, and I kind of stopped with them and had a bit of a jam, and got there under 6 hours.
Incredible. You said you were running for Macmillan, and how much money have you raised?
We've just passed £50,000 now. There'll be people who've done more to raise awareness. For example, think about Sir Chris Hoy or a member of the royal family. In seconds, they could maybe bring more attention than I could. I was just so grateful because of raising awareness through a bit of political activism as well, and just pure fundraising, to be named Macmillan's Fundraiser of the Year.
And you've also received the MBE.
Yeah, I'd call that as a similar kind of recognition, if you like. Because I'm all one of these all-rounders. I think I'll try and do a little bit of everything. I don't know, I believe some of it was for community service, which sounds like I've been picking up litter. And I think what they're getting at, the Honours Commission there, is that I've just tried to do whatever I can post-diagnosis. And maybe it's not an uncommon thought that a lot of people might just know how ill they are, find a nice comfortable blanket and just curl themselves up from it. I spent as long as I could doing what I could. And I suppose if I can't put one foot in front of the other, I can wiggle my fingers over a keyboard.
Those odds, when you were first diagnosed, were?
About 50-50 survive a year on average. And this is with stage 4 bowel cancer. And surviving...
And 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago.
Just about 3 years ago. The five-year rate, so they measure after a year, 1 year and 5 years, would be about 10% survival.
So basically you just have to keep running the marathons.
That would be nice. I mean, if my body let me, I'd love to. I miss it. Well, it's nice to walk. I've had two things that have come into my head straight away after diagnosis. One of them was to raise awareness so that people don't end up like me, because those 10% five-year survival chances at stage 4, that's almost exactly reversed statistically at stage 1. There's a 10% death rate after 5 years, as opposed to survival rate. So know the symptoms. If there's something not right, I mean, in general, with all sorts of illnesses, but particularly with bowel cancer, because we don't have to talk about that. So if you notice a change in your bowel habits, or certainly find things like abdominal pain and various symptoms, and I think we're becoming more and more educated in that. And that's, so I would shout that from the rooftops. And I suppose some of that recognition is because I've made a point of that. But the other one is that it's, even if the worst happens to you, okay, yeah, that can absolutely floor you. I've had some pretty bad news recently. So the worst prognosis I've had so far is I possibly won't make it past New Year, because it spreads to my brain, and I'm quite a high blood clot risk, and the chemotherapy that's available increases that high blood clot risk. So I could be dead pretty much instantly. Has that made me fall into a hole? No, it hasn't.
I'm so sorry about that news, but the fact that you've just shared it with me and with the listeners is so typical of what you've been doing on your Instagram. And I would urge anyone to go to Nathaniel's Instagram channel, and it's at Nathaniel Dye, isn't it?
Yeah, you can have Nathaniel Dye your bowel cancer bucket list. Yeah, bowelcancerbucketlist.com.
Anyone who does reels and videos for social media knows how time consuming it is, how much energy it can take. And yet all the way through your illness, you do regular updates just about what's happening, how you're feeling. We don't normally see people's stories in that way. We actually see what it means. What does bowel cancer actually mean? But you take the time to share this incredibly personal reflection of what's happening to you.
And that, look, I'm dying of this anyway. I might as well tell people, and we're in the age of social media. And if it, I don't know, again, is it a cliche or is it not? If one person sees my story and thinks, okay, maybe there's something wrong with me too, maybe I should get around to that blood test or whatever it is, or just checking in with their doctor, then I consider that time very much well spent.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. And my guest today is ultra runner, musician, campaigner and fundraiser, Nathaniel Dye. And this is where we turn to Nathaniel's music. His album, Matters of Life and Death, recorded in the midst of everything that he's been navigating, is now set to be launched on World Cancer Day, February the 4th, 2026. And we also touch on his very personal campaign around assisted dying.
In the last 3 years, you've done a lot of things that a lot of people would have on their list as, yeah, I'm going to do that one day, like running the London Marathon, raising money for a charity. And the other thing is writing an album, a music album. That's a dream for many people, but you completed your album.
And it was very thankfully now recorded before the Husky Voice. But that would have been about 18 months ago with the amazing producer, Steve Pretty, who managed to get me into a room with a nice diamond ring.
And what's the name of the album?
It's called Matters of Life and Death.
And you can get it on Spotify?
Get it on all the platforms anyone can imagine. It hasn't really taken off. And I'm imagining that's because 10 songs about cancer and death aren't necessarily what that many people would want to really immerse themselves with. But it's definitely there, and I'm going to have a kind of launch gig, if you like, on the 4th of February, which happens to be World Cancer Day. World Cancer Day on the 4th of February in the evening. If anyone's listening to this from London, in a pretty nice little venue called King's Place. Hopefully tickets will be out by the time this comes out, as well as a couple of musicians like me. This will break your heart. Warm your heart, hopefully. There's going to be a choir coming all of whom either have cancer or their supporters will be there with them as well. About 40 people, and they're bussing themselves in from the Midlands.
That sounds amazing. Are we having Keir Starmer there and Wes Streeting?
They're definitely invited. Fingers crossed about the politicians, because obviously they're very busy. But certainly some frontline politicians, including Ashley Dalton, who is the health minister in charge of the cancer plan, who has a musical background as well. Also a few comedians.
Can I just stop just a second? So everyone by now knows that you have stage 4 cancer, and everyone will be blown away by the fact that you've raised £50,000, you've run the marathon, you did a 100-miler, you've created an album, you got the MBE. Now you are basically organising a massive event for 400 people with a choir, with hopefully the great and the good of politics. The way that you are living with cancer shines a light on the tragedy of cancer, but it also shines a light on the wonder of life. And I feel like you managed to hold both those concepts together. For me, that's what you represent, is how beautiful life is showing us how to live.
I'm showing myself how to live. That feels like plenty for now. Some might consider that a bit of an irony, considering I've seemed to have gone myself into another single issue campaign of assisted dying. Well, some people would struggle to find those two concepts going together, but I suppose having been in the kind of pain where my internal monologue was itself a little whimper, even if there was no one to hear it, that wretched feeling of being in so much distress, of suffering so much, of seeing loved ones die. I think two things are true here. I want to live as best I can every day. Some days that looks great. All I've got left really to aim for is to give my family something to be proud of, because I'm just aware that they're going to, you know, live a long time without me. With that, I'm trying to do as much as I can. I have been since diagnosis, certainly, but also just be kind to them, be kind to myself, because it's not certain, but it's possible that at the very end, I, and certainly so many people I've met, may well end up in the kind of suffering where there is no light at the end of a tunnel, where that tunnel is blocked, it's completely caved in, it's worse than the drainage ditch that I've forced myself through to. And at that point, I don't know, I feel that I need to campaign for kindness now, but that's hardest towards myself. I think it's true of a lot of people. The person that you find hardest to forgive, to give a break, to, I don't know, allow some luxury in and really enjoy it, is yourself. And I think as I've become more and more ill, I've just had to give myself a break more and more. I like to think that others will always be important and I'll do what I can for everyone else. But if I think if I'm successful in that, it's that I've done that for myself.
Aside for us.
I don't know, maybe it reflects a dark humour that comes to you when you find yourself in my kind of position. A Queen song from the Highlander movie called Who Wants to Live Forever? And well, clearly not me, because I won't be, none of us will be, but not framed as a love song as it is, I suppose, in the film. But in any case, it's around fate and futility, because there's nothing we can do. That doesn't mean we have necessarily have predetermined fates, but that you have to kind of roll with it. I suppose that's, whether it's me as a pragmatist, living and seeing what happens.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, and my guest, ultra runner, educator and campaigner, Nathaniel Dye. And in this final part of our conversation, everything comes full circle as we reflect on resilience, on what it really means to keep going, and on Nathaniel's beautifully simple philosophy for life. And this isn't just a message for those facing illness. It's for all of us in the everyday moments when life feels heavy and we're not sure how to take the next step.
I mean, I think for anyone listening, A, they will just be inspired by who you are and everything that you do. But also, I hope that myself and everyone will also just remember your lesson, which is your total unstoppability. You know, you just... And I, you know, I want to take an analogy from walking. You know... You keep on taking one step after another. You keep on building and building and building. I just think everything that you do in itself is such an amazing message for all to listen to about life.
Well, it's amazing how far you can go if you just put one foot in front of the other repeatedly. And I don't know, do I have regrets? Not necessarily huge regrets, but God, sometimes I think, what if I'd had this kind of attitude without having to get cancer, without having to be sick? What if I'd spent my 20s living as I do now? What if we all did?
Can you encapsulate how you live, like, in a phrase?
Well, there's one phrase that I've stuck to, I think, and it's because it's so beautifully simple, and I think it comes from ultra runner caught into water, and it's not necessarily about running, it's about life. So what's the secret? I mean, if someone asks you what your secret is to any kind of success, the secret is that there is no secret. Say it again. The secret is that there is no secret. You just keep going. And it's that simple. Keep going when you can, as much as you can. Or even, want to give yourself a break, as much as you want to. Yeah. But just keep going, whatever that looks like for you. And I think a lot of the time, we're told that there are, you know, that there'll be this miracle fad, or I don't know, some kind of smoothie, whatever it is now, beetroot juice, all sorts of things. And that's maybe a really tiny example, but for me, it's always just been do the work and you'll get there. It might take longer. It might not look very pretty. It might look completely different to someone else's version of just keeping going. But yeah, just keep going. And how often do you get home at the end of the day and you think, I've just had enough? Well, we've all feel like that. Even the most successful people must feel like that, possibly more than the average person. But is that maybe the word is resilience? Maybe it's that ability just to pick yourself up and have another go, or even move on, or pragmatically work out where to cut your losses. I think I'm quite a pragmatist. I'm able to walk away if something's not working. But also, I think I've shown through various ways that there are great rewards if you do persevere And I'm nothing special. I'm definitely not a physical specimen. I'm not that bright, not that quick. But yeah, I can't think of a better way to describe it. I just have the ability to keep going and see where the path leads.
Oh, I love that. Keep going and see where the path leads.
Let's go full circle, because we both achieved this. And I was so happy that last summer that took me from one end of the country to the other. And at the time, I wasn't sure if maybe I had another comeback at work. Turned out not to work, because the seizures then came after I got to Land's End. But those 60 days, averaging 20 miles a day, just giving myself permission to spend 2 solid months just walking, and life became so simple. And that's maybe an incredibly literal version of that. Just keep going and you'll get there in the end.
Beautiful words, and thank you to my guest, Nathaniel Dye. Nathaniel shows us the power of perseverance and of simply moving one foot in front of the other. And I know this is a show we'll all be coming back to borrow a bit of Nathaniel's wisdom and courage in our own lives. Next week, we'll have an end of year roundup from all the amazing guests who've appeared on this show. And if you want to boost your steps in 2026, don't forget to download your Walk Yourself Wonderful guide at www.feelgoodwalk.com, and that link is in the bio. Until next